الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى قالت نملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون صدق الله العظيم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رسالة الدروس اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable Ulama, respected elders and fellow students, when Maulana Ziyad phoned me with the request to sit in front of you this evening, I was perplexed. I was bewildered. Although there was a time many, many years ago when I received the same request, the same doubt, but that was many years ago. I'm still so nadan, but that time it was worse. The reason for the bewilderment was that this is the madrasa wherein I studied. This is the madrasa from which do I deserve to say graduated if we ever graduate? So I'm supposed to come here mustansihan, not nasihan. I'm supposed to come here mustansihan, seeking nasiha, asking for nasiha. And if I don't do that, لِعُذَرٍ مِنَ الْأَعْذَارِ لِأَعْذَارٍ مِنَ الْأَعْذَارِ the most important of which is laziness, which is kasr. But nevertheless, if you don't come here mustansihan, then what guts do you have to sit on the stage nasihan and give advice? But on the other hand, how do I reject the request of our Muhtam himself, Hafidahullah, of our Ustaz, Hafidahullah? But tafakkartu, I thought about it and I said, okay. Let me get back to Maulana Ziyad and tell him, I will come here. Thought in my mind, I will come here, not nasihan, but this. Revising. Making takrar, or as we would say, making muraja'ah, or making mudhakara. Sharing with you something which we heard from our asatiza, or which we still hear from our asatiza. And as these thoughts were going through my mind, the first and foremost thing that came to my mind is that our ustad, Hazrat Maulana Hassan Dokar al-Hafidahullah, has mentioned to us repeatedly, over and over again, sometimes when it was just me sitting alone with Maulana, and sometimes just the other asatiza, and sometimes with the students as well. Maulana repeatedly tells that this ilm is a nisbat. This ilm is a nisbat. And how would we translate nisbat? Maybe we will say a ruhani ta'alluq, a spiritual connection. And to prove Maulana's point, Maulana mentions an incident, repeatedly mentions the incident. There was a friend of ours, Maulana Abdullah Zavelia's classmate, Maulana Faisal Manju, graduated from this madrasa, stayed in South Africa for a few years and relocated to the United Kingdom. One day he phones Maulana and he says, "Maulana, there's a friend of mine. He's a judge. I would like him to speak with you. He has to discuss your issues." Maulana said, "He's welcome." Anyway, the judge came to visit Maulana after a few days. They sat and they spoke. And then the judge asked Maulana, "So Maulana, tell me, how do you know Maulana Faisal?" So Maulana said, "Maulana Faisal, he is my student." So the judge says, "Excuse me?" Maulana said, "He is my student." The judge says, "He is your student or he was your student?" Because he's like, "Maulana, he graduated how many years ago? He's working in the United Kingdom now. You probably mean he was your student." Maulana says, "Judge, he was my student, he is my student, and he will always be my student." So the judge says, "Maulana, I don't understand." Maulana says, "You won't understand unless I explain to you. Because you see, in your circles, knowledge is different. Secular knowledge is different. The student comes to gain some ma'lumat, some information. Okay, let's call it knowledge for argument's sake. But he comes to gain some knowledge in order to earn the dunya and then he's gone. Earning the dunya, he forgot about his teachers. But this knowledge is different. It's a nisbat, like we said, a ruhani connection. As a result of which, once a student, always a student. Just this week, maybe it was Wednesday when Maulana was repeating the same lesson. And I said, that's why adab is so important in the life of talibul ilm. Because this nisbat cannot be established without adab, without respect. Brothers and friends, so much can be said about respect, about adab in the life of the talibul ilm. Examples of respect from the histories of the great ulama, from the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah until present day ulama, present day seniors, and the way they respect their ulama or their asatiza, their teachers, their mashayikh. For example, you probably heard, and well, you're going to hear whatever I'm going to tell you. You heard it before. Because we're just making mudhakara, right? We're just making takrar, repeating what we've heard. And if you heard the same thing, it's just to remind us of a forgotten lesson, maybe. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. What was his ustad's name? Well, he had many ustads. Many ustads. But the most prominent of his asatida was Hammad bin Abi Sulaiman. Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, when we go and sleep, make sure we don't stretch our legs in the direction of the Qibla. Respect for the Qibla. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, when he used to go and sleep, he not only used to avoid stretching his legs in the direction of the Qibla, but not even, he wouldn't even stretch his legs in the direction of the house of Hammad. Not even stretched his legs in the direction of the house of his ustad Hammad bin Abi Sulaiman. Even though they say that between Imam Abu Hanifa's house and the house of Hammad, there was sab'u sikakin. Sab'u sikakin, seven streets, seven roads in between, or should we say seven alleys. So it's not like next door. It's not like across the road. Seven roads in between. But that was the adab. That was the respect that Imam Abu Hanifa had for his Ustad Hammad bin Abi Sulaiman. And well, The story of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah is just so famous. That when he would sit in front of Imam Malik rahimahullah, he would be so careful when turning the pages not to be rough, because that slight noise of the page may annoy Imam Malik rahimahullah. There were two rawis of hadith, two narrators of hadith. One was Ali bin Salih and the other was Hassan bin Salih. Ali bin Salih, Hassan bin Salih. But they were tawamain, twins. Which means, wulida min batanin wahid. Born at the same time, right? But twins are not always born exactly the same time. So Ali was 1 hour elder than Hassan. How much? 1 hour elder than Hassan. Because of that 1 hour, Hassan used to respect Ali. Hassan used to respect Ali. So therefore, whenever Hassan was giving a lesson, whenever Hassan was giving nasiha, teaching people, Ali would sit lower, he wouldn't sit next to his brother. Would never refer to his brother by his name, he would always refer to his brother by his kunyat. Why respect? Respect for our elders. Last night, I was reading an amazing story, an amazing incident. And we said, how? Ulama had respect for the asatida from Al-Qarni Al-Awwal, from the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Let's give another example. From the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. From the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sayyiduna Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu is mounted on a camel. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Thabit, katib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees Hasan radiallahu anhu on a camel. He comes to catch the rein of the camel and like, he's going to lead the camel. Sayyiduna Hasan radiallahu anhu says, please don't do that. Sayyiduna Zayd says, but this is what we have been commanded to do with the Ahlul Bayt. This is what we have been commanded to do with Ahlul Bayt. Respect the members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu says, but this is not what we have been commanded to do with our ulama. This is not what we have been commanded to do with our elders. Anyway, so I was reading this story. Of now a much later story. Like just a few, maybe we can say decades ago. Sheikh Muhammad Awwam Hafizahullah says, he was in this majlis. And his ustad, Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin, was in the majlis. And there was another alim. Sheikh Awwama doesn't give the name of the Ali. Why? Adab. Respect. But we'll see now what we mean by adab and respect. And then there was the head mufti of the Shafi'iyya of Syria in the gathering. Now that's the senior person. Very senior person. Head mufti of the Shafi'iyya of the Shafi'is in Syria. The Sheikh is sitting. It's in the middle of the day or some time of the day. So because of the sun, there's a shadow. Sheikh Awwama says, I suddenly see Sheikh Abdullah Siraj. He's like silently hinting. He's drawing the attention of the other alim. Move your foot. He says the other alim suddenly gets a shock and he moves his foot. He says, then I realize what he was saying. He was saying, Sheikh, your foot is on the shadow of the Sheikh. Your foot is on the shadow of the Mufti. He's our elder. He's our senior. Don't even put your foot on the shadow of the Sheikh. Sheikh Muhammad Awwama is something which I've read in his kitab Ma'alim Irshadiyya. But some of the ulama, I don't recall which alim it was, but one of the muqaddimat written on Hidayah says, we've been taught that when we are reading kitab to our ustad, you know, the usloob of ta'aleem differs from country to country, from city to city maybe. In the Arab world, it would be maybe different. So there are parts of the world where the usloob of ta'lim is that the talib will read and the ustad will listen attentively. Where there is a need, then he will make some kalam.
Now you know in the various kutub that we read, sometimes it comes, I'lam. I'lam.
So Shaykh Awama says, the Kitab Ahlul Da'ani, Modern Muslim, says,
so we were taught that when you come to I'lam, you're reading in front of your ustad, you don't say I'lam, you say li'u'lam.
Because when you're reading and you're reading to the ustad,
I'lam, although your intention is not like Amar lil ustad,
but surah, and it seems like at last you are ordering the ustad, I'lam, and you listen. You can't be speaking like that to your ustad.
I started with the ayat of the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam
has been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look for Khidr
and spend some time with Khidr and to learn some knowledge from Khidr.
So Musa alayhi salam eventually finds Khidr. We're not going to go into the long story, the whole story. I might just make mistakes in the story, okay? But anyway, so Musa comes to Khidr, he finds Khidr. Where was it? The Majma' al-Bahrain.
And then Musa says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا.
Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah, author of that great tafsir, the name of the tafsir, Mafatih al-Ghayb. But the people gave it the nickname Tafsir al-Kabir. And it is tafsir kabir. La shakka fi kawnihi. Tafsiran kabira. Big tafsir. And if we don't like mantik, and we don't like falsafa, then where are we going to get any benefit of, you know, some benefit, but limited benefit. But there's so many beautiful gems in this tafsir of Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah.
Nevertheless, so Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah is commenting now on the statement of Musa. This request Musa made to Khidr, he says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا.
May I follow you so that you will teach me some of the righteousness that you have been taught. So many lessons in the short statement of Musa.
So many lessons for you and I, so many lessons for us, طلاب العلم.
Number one, Musa started by making himself tabi' of the ustad.
By making himself tabi' of the ustad, of the teacher of Khidr.
And he says, may I follow you.
So you the asal, you the actual person, I just want to be subject to you. I want to be tabi' of you, secondary to you. But then number two, he didn't like, okay, let me be tabi' of Khidr. He asked permission and he says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, may I follow you.
So Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah says,
this is مُبَالَغَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ فِي التَّوَاضُعِ. مُبَالَغَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ فِي التَّوَاضُعِ.
This is not just tawadu,
but this is a very, very high level of tawadu. This is مُبَالَغَة in tawadu.
In humility, he's not just saying, okay, let me follow the Shaykh, but he's asking the Shaykh. He's asking Khidr the Ustad, may I be tabi' of you?
Can I be tabi' of you?
And then he says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ
عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. When he makes this request, and he's saying, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, may I follow you, so that you will teach me some of the ilm that has been given to you. Another adab, another respect for tullab,
and that is اعتراف بالجهل. As the talib, I must acknowledge my ignorance.
As the talib, I must acknowledge, I don't know.
Musa did that.
Musa did that when he says, may I follow you so that you will teach me. So that you will teach me. Number one, he's making i'tiraf, he's acknowledging, I don't know what you know. But it's not only that I make i'tiraf, I don't know.
I must also make i'tiraf. I must also acknowledge that my ustad knows.
So that's why he just didn't say, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي. But he added, أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ. So مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ is acknowledgement, but you know.
Khidr, I want to make you my ustad.
Because you know,
I don't know, will you teach me? How many lessons we already learned? Three.
And then he says,
who's he? Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah.
He says, when Musa said, Hal attami'uk, he said, Antu'allimani mimma ullimta. Mimma, you know, mimma, minma, right? Minma. And that min is tab'idiyya. That min is tab'id.
For the benefit of those who don't understand, for some of the members of the public who are here,
that min is showing a portion. So he's saying, Khidr, may I follow you, so that you will teach me some of the knowledge that you have been taught. So that you will teach me some of the knowledge, a little bit of the knowledge that Allah had given you.
See, this is now
another lesson for the tulab, and that is when you go to class, when you go to an ustad, when you are seeking knowledge, your aim must not be that I want to become the equal of my ustad. Your aim, na'udhu billah, must never be that I want to become musawiyan li ustadi, or I want to become the rival of my ustad, because then you're going to lose it.
Always keep yourself lower. I want to be tabi of my ustad. Ustad, I want to learn some of your knowledge. I'll never be like you.
And that's the truth. We will never ever be like our asatiza.
Ustad will always be the ustad.
And the talib will always be
still other lessons. But we just stop here. We will never be like our asatiza. So one day, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and we were on safar, we were traveling in the car with Maulana Hassan, myself and Mufti Ahmed Mia. And I asked Maulana about Tafsir al-Mazhari. I'm going to tell you what was the question about Tafsir al-Mazhari. But Maulana said, yes, I read it, and yes, it's a good tafsir. Because after all, Qazi Sanaullah Panipati rahimahullah was known as Bihaqiyul Hind. But then Maulana said, but my favorite is Ruhul Ma'ani. For tafsir, I look at Ruhul Ma'ani. I've read it almost like cover to cover. And for hadith, I love Mirqatul Mafatih Mulla Ali Qari Sharaf Mishkan. And then Maulana was talking of how he read Mirqat, almost like cover to cover. And Al-Mabsut of Sarasi, فَكَأَنِّي أَقُولُ فِي نَفْسِي أَيْنَ أَنْتَ مِنَ الْأُسْتَاذِ أَيْنَ أَنْتَ مِنْ أُسْتَاذِكَ. Where are you in relation to your ustad?
So far from your ustad. And if we can't be close to our asatiza, how will we be close to the asatiza of our asatiza?
Open some of the kitabs. Of example, Mufti Sa'id Palanpuri, rahimahullah. Rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'a.
Rahmatullahi al-wasi'a, the sharaf hujjatullahi al-baligha. And when you start reading,
either your hair is standing or your head is spinning.
Because you're like, where did he get all this knowledge from?
One of the benefits of reading is you realize just how much you don't know. We can't be like our asatiza.
Then how can we be like the asatiza of our asatiza? If you can't be like Mufti Sa'id Palanpuri rahimahullah,
then how can we be like his ustad Allama Ibrahim Balyawi rahimahullah?
Then how are we going to be like Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri and Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah?
And if we can't be like them, then where are we compared to Shaykh al-Hind?
And then where are we compared to Maulana
Qasim Nanotvi rahimahullah, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahimahullah, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi rahimahullah, even giants of knowledge find it difficult to understand what was he saying. What was he saying? And we can't be like them.
We can't be like them.
There is this famous adib of recent times, like maybe passed away like 25-30 years ago. Ali Tantawi rahimahullah. Ali, although we don't agree with everything he said, but nevertheless, there's a number of his books even in your library over here. Ali Tantawi, adib.
And among one of the statements that he made, It's sometimes the alim of one place is the jahil of another. This man who you call an alim
goes somewhere else and he will be like, is he an alim? He's more like jahil.
And then he says, alim zamanin jahil zamanin akhar. The alim of one zaman
is the jahil of another zaman.
If we can't compare to our asatida, we can't compare to the asatida of the asatida, we can't compare to Shaykhain, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi alayhim ar-Rahma,
then where are we going to compare to Shah Waliullah?
Then we are in comparison to people like Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawood. And then we are we in comparison to the a'imma like Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik.
So often, I tell my friends that studying with me, that you know if those people know that people call us alim,
imma ayyabkuna wa imma ayyadhakun.
إِمَّا أَن يَبْكُونَ وَإِمَّا أَن يَضْحَكُونَ. Either they're going to cry or they're going to laugh. Either they're going to cry, like, what is the condition of the ummah?
Such jahils are called ulama, what is the condition of the ummah?
Or else they're going to laugh, like, that fellow is called an alim.
That fellow is called a mulana.
Al-Hasil, let us not be arrogant because of the little that we know. وفوق كل ذي علم عليم. There's always somebody more learned than you. We continue with the lessons. Well, there's too many for us to mention now.
But هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا.
سيدنا موسى could have just said هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني.
May I follow you so that you will teach me. But he added, مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ, so that you will teach me some of the knowledge that Allah has blessed you with.
But he could have stopped there.
He could have just said, مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ, but, well,
but no, he added the word رُشْدَى.
And what's the meaning of رُشْدَى? Righteousness, guidance.
So the lesson that we learn,
the lesson that we draw is that Musa alayhi salam was not just saying, teach me, but he was saying, guide me, show me what is right and what is wrong.
So likewise, when we go to a madrasa, when we sit in the lessons of our asatiza,
the aim must not just be to gain knowledge, to gain information, but the aim must be, as we are repeatedly told,
rushdan, to gain guidance, to gain islah, to gain reformation, to perfect or clean our heart, so that it's not just what we know, but more than that, what we will implement in our lives. Because remember, ilm is not the final objective. Ilm is just the wasila, the actual maqsad is to make amal on that ilm. Nevertheless, هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا.
And then Fakhruddin Razi adds one more point. And he says that Musa is meeting Khidr for the first time. And he says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, may I follow you? Allah, so that you will teach me. As if he's saying, Khidr, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do exactly what you do. And I'm going to do exactly what you do for no other reason but because you are going to be my teacher. Because you are my teacher.
Now we won't go into the details, but from this Fakhruddin Razi says, therefore, for the Muqtadi, and anybody doubting that we are Muqtadin, we've just proven that we are Muqtadin, alayhi kadhalik. We've just spoken of how we can compare to our asatida and their asatida. So we are like Muqtadin, and it's like we will always be there, Muqtadin.
But anyway, so what Fakhruddin Razi is saying, look at his words, look at what Musa is saying. May I follow you because you are my teacher. The lesson is that as a Muqtadi, you do what your Ustad does. You do what Ustad commands you to do. You study what Ustad teaches you. And you don't make munaza'ah. You don't make i'tirad. You don't fight with your Ustad. You don't raise any objections against your Ustad. Anyway, brothers and friends in Islam, I think the time is almost up. But in the beginning, I read this ayat from Surah An-Naml. And you may have been thinking like, they said some advice for students, although we're not advising you, we're just making murakara, right? We're just repeating what we have either read or what we heard from our asatiza. But, قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ ادْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. Now you're like thinking, now he's reading the ayat of Surah An-Naml. The ant and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And what has that got to do with Tullabul Ilm? But the ulama say, look, the small ant. Well, there's a whole, what you see, army of ants. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming with his army. And then the ant realizes that, you know what, if we don't enter the ant hills, we don't enter our houses, then Sulaiman and his army, لَيَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They're going to crush us. And they won't even realize what they are doing. So now the ant says to the other ant, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ ادْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. Oh ant, enter your masakin, go in your houses. Why? So that Sulaiman and his army, لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ, won't trample you. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, because if they trample you, they won't even realize. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, they won't even realize they're trampling you. So now what the ulama say, in the light of this ayat, look at this small ant. But the respect that this ant is showing to Sulaiman and the army of Sulaiman, respect, making an excuse on behalf of Sulaiman. Making an excuse on behalf of the army of Sulaiman. لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Let them not trample you because they won't know. They will be innocent in trampling. Making an excuse on behalf of Sulaiman. Making an excuse on behalf of the army of Sulaiman. So the ulama say, they say that if that small ant can show respect to Sulaiman, can show respect to the army of Sulaiman, and don't just accuse them of worm, don't accuse them of trampling us, then how much more shouldn't we show respect to the people from whom we gain knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand. There's so much more that we can speak about. But there's so much that we've heard before. Our asatiza, Maulana Hassan, Maulana Musa, had an ustad of qiraat by the name of Qai Anis rahimahullah. And he had so much of respect for him. He used to say, you must also respect your pen. Don't throw the pen. Why? Because the pen is alatul ilm. So he wouldn't even enter the toilet with the pen in his pocket. Take it out and then go to toilet. Why? Adaban li alatul ilm. There was Maulana Ma'ruf. Maulana Ma'ruf rahimahullah. He was very, very active, maybe the Amir of Tabligh in Sri Lanka. Studied in Banuri town. Studied under Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Banuri rahimahullah. We were students here, we were sitting here. And Maulana came in Jamaat and he gave us nasiha. And spoke of one day. They in Banuri town, in Karachi, and a student needed to pass. And the desk was in the way. So with his foot, he just moved the desk out of the way. And Maulana Yusuf Banuri saw him. And when he saw him, he got extremely angry. He reprimanded him. He said, but that desk is alatul ilm. How can you be so disrespectful? You move it out of the way with your foot. You got to respect the pen. You got to respect the desk. You got to respect the kitab. You remember the story of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri? And how he would make mutala and he would turn around rather than turning the kitab around. So then how much more must we respect our asatiza? And when we respect our asatiza, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes where we started with this ilm is nisbat. It is spiritual connection. And when there is spiritual connection, then this ilm becomes nur. And then you are able to serve this ilm. As long as there is no nisbat, and as long as there is no tarbiyat, then this ilm becomes the means of khidmatul batan. Khidmatul batan
you're making khidmat of your stomach.
Then you are using the same lil iktisab to earn money.
But when there is khidmat, when there is tarbiyat, then this ilm becomes a mean of khidmat to deen.
Arra'ahu staghna. Ma ma'ana arra'ahu staghna? Allah is speaking of
one of the ru'asa of Quraysh,
who was arrogant and refused to bring iman. Why was he arrogant? Arra'ahu staghna. Because he thought he's got too much money. What is wealth? I've got money. They don't have money, so I'm better than them.
Ulama say, if you've got knowledge
and you don't have the right tarbiyat,
then you're going to say, I know, they don't know, then I'm better than them. You understand?
So the wealthy are saying, we have money, they don't have money, so we're better than them.
If there's no tarbiyat, then sahibul ilm will say, I've got ilm and he's jahil, he doesn't know nothing, I'm better than him. So what's the difference between you and the wealthy tajir?
He's showing off because he's got money, you're showing off because you got wealth. So that's why ilm is,
or rather ilm requires tarbiyat. Without tarbiyat, then the ilm will be the same as mal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with ilm and nafi'ah. Ilm that will take us closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make all of us, or include all of us among the true khuddam of his deen. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.